Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Andy Lee's on the line. Hello.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Gavin.
I presume you saw the boxing. You're not going to come on and let me down like Caban did and say I didn't see it.
Actually, just rewatching it there to make sure I was up to speed.
Okay, good. That's helpful. So it was a good night. I mean, it's great to see these kind of nights happening in Irish boxing again. Frampton beat Garcia. The judges had it 98-93, 97-93 and 96-93 for Frampton. Certainly, when I was watching on Saturday Live, nobody on TV had it quite that comfortable for Frampton, but he definitely was the winner.
Yeah, I think Richie Woodall, who was scoring it for BT, had it by a couple of points to Frampton. It was a close fight. Well, he made it a close fight, I think. It ended up being a close fight, but he was boxing well in the first half of the fight, really showcasing his skills and catching Garcia at will. But Garcia was big and tough and strong and was always going to come on strong. And with Frampton being out of the ring for 8 to 9 months and with a new team, there was always probably... I think, people probably hadn't given him enough credit that he was always going to get tired and he's always going to find it difficult in there a little bit, making the adjustment to having a new team and then being in the new environment. And, almost, like he said himself, he almost feels like a new pro and that he's learning all over again.
Mm. So is his style in any way now discernibly different under Jamie Moore to what it was under Shane McGuigan?
No, not that I can see. And I don't think there will be any noticeable change, maybe until 3 or 4 fights down the line, if they even go that far, Frampton is a counter puncher, and he's best when he's on his... He's a box puncher, really, but more so a counter puncher. And he's best when he's on his toes, moving around, tricking you and laying traps, drawing you in and then countering you, with powerful punches. And he's quite a good combination puncher, too, when he puts them together. So, Garcia was almost the perfect opponent, but just as the fight wore on, round 6, round 7, he started to tire a little bit. He held his feet. Maybe he wanted to entertain the crowd in Belfast and make it more of a brawl, but that kind of played into Garcia's hands and he had a bit more success going down the stretch.
Now, you said there, Andy, he looked quite comfortable the first 2 or 3 rounds there, and then the fourth round, maybe the tide started to change a little bit. But was it just, as you say there, just the... inactivity in the ring? Was that what it was down to, simply how Garcia got back on top?
And also just constant pressure from Garcia, and even if Carl Frampton was fighting, say, 4 months ago, he probably still would have had a tough time with Garcia because he wasn't a bad fighter, I think people kind of took it for granted that Frampton was just going to go in there and waltz through it. But a little bit of fatigue and a little bit of inactivity and just... come to terms with it. I had a similar thing myself when I started training with Adam Booth and adjusting to a new style and being in small thing like the preparation of the day of the fight and how a new coach does, has a whole new routine when you've been used to one way all your whole career, like in the dressing rooms, wrapping the hands and how you warm up and just dealing with all that is also, something you have to go through. But I thought he boxed well, he won the fight. And it was the perfect exercise because he got 10 rounds and it will only stand him in good stead.
Yeah. So afterwards, he jokingly said that he had really chosen Garcia as the opponent, and maybe you got the impression that Macklin standing beside him was kind of thinking, they maybe wouldn't have picked as tough an opponent, and Frampton was sort of saying, well, next time I might let the lads have a bit more input into who I fight next. So it seems what's going to happen next for him is he's going to have another fight in maybe March, April, and then they want a world title fight. So what's most likely here, Andy? How will this play out? Lee Selby is fighting Josh Warrington. And then, the winner of that at Windsor Park, is that likely, or is there something else on the horizon next year?
I think that's more than most likely. The fight he really wants is Leo Santa Cruz would be the trilogy. He won the first fight. Santa Cruz won the second fight in January. And he really wants that fight badly. But it seems, with Santa Cruz being in America and... the landscape being different over there. It's more than likely he'll end up fighting Warrington or Selby, whoever wins that fight, because they're both signed with Frank Warren. They both fight on BT Sports. And they're more known to the public here.
Yeah.
And it'll be more of a draw, I suppose, in Windsor Park.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. And Selby versus Warrington, who will the Frampton camp be hoping comes out on top there? Who suits Frampton more?
they'll be hoping Warrington. I don't think he'll be worried too much. But Selby, to me, is a real. He's a danger man to me. Right. He's a slick boxer. He models himself with Floyd Mayweather, and he has a lot of that kind of characteristics in the ring. He kind of shoulder rolls and is flashy. And to me, he's a bit of a weapon. I think he's a danger man. And as I said, Frampton suits when someone's walking towards Frampton and he can counterpunch and set those traps and move and be tricky. That's the type of fighter that suits Frampton. Mm. In the rematch with Santa Cruz chose to stand back, not to be aggressive, and to use his jab and to almost counterpunch Frampton. And he found it very difficult to adjust.
Yeah.
And
to beat him at his own game. Warrington
would come at Frampton and Frampton would box rings around him, I believe.
Okay.
But Selby would be a trickier task for Frampton. But I'd still favour Frampton. I think he's just a bit a level above, but it's a very close fight, Selby versus Frampton.
So, like, realistic kind of perfect world scenario, wherever the two meet, you could see a fight next year, world title fight against Selby or Warrington, and then ideally Frampton wins that, and ultimately we'll have to go to America to get the trilogy, the third fight with Leo Santa Cruz. Maybe that happens in Vegas, and that gives Frampton a real shot at this kind of crowning moment in his career. That's, if they're sitting up late at night throwing around ideas, that might be the vision.
And I think it's very possible, because even for Santa Cruz, there's a lack of opponents in America. He's fighting Christian Mares again, I think, soon. And so they're kind of tied up over there. But if Frampton get through, beat Selby or beat Warrington, I suspect it'll be Selby, then that would be the perfect sign-off. I know he's only said he doesn't want to have too many more fights. He doesn't want to be fighting on into his mid to late 30s. So yeah, it would be the perfect sign-off. And I think he actually deserves it, you know, for the great career he's had. And great, like, he's a really nice fella. So it would be a perfect ending to his career.
Andy, did you manage to catch the Jamie Connolly fight as well? You watched that?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy viewing, but...
Yeah.
Like, you could see he showed tremendous heart and tremendous courage. He wanted to fight on, but he was just outmatched and outgunned. Mm. And Kajas is a great champion. You know, he'll take some beating. I think he'll take a very special fighter to beat him, and he'll be champion for a long time.
He just took some unbelievable body shots in the fight, didn't he? That was a thing that was just a killer. I don't know if you just talked me through. You know, we've seen it maybe in some fighters as well, where it's the trademark body shot that's putting people down. You could see almost in that first round with that knockdown for Jamie Conlon that he just couldn't quite recover through the whole of the fight from that. So, can you just put it in perspective what it's like when you take a shot like that and you're trying then to get your win, but you're trying to get fully recovered, and he just couldn't get through the fight after that, really?
It just takes your legs completely out of it. Like, it's like having a it's like you never had a cramp in your leg or in your bicep or your foot or anywhere. It's like having that for your whole of your torso, for your whole of your stomach. And you can't breathe. It's like you're being suffocated, you know. Yeah. And then you're trying to deal with someone punching you, and your legs are just like, you're just like lead. It's the most incredible thing to be hit with the body shot like that when they land like that. And I don't know how he got up. You know, yeah. Some of them like you have to take your hat off to him, the honesty and the bravery showed there, because a lot of guys would say, look, this is not my night. I'm going to sit down here, but. Yeah. He kept getting up, and he can see he won over more people.
Yeah.
in the when how he lost and how he chose to fight, even when he was down against it, he never took a backward step. He tried to fight and always tried to win,
it felt a bit like that on the say, because it was almost if, you know, I'm in my home city here, I'm desperate to stay on my feet. It was unbelievable bravery just for him to certainly after that first round with that knockdown in the first round. It just seemed incredible how he lasted as long as he did.
It was a bizarre knockdown, the first, like, it was one of the most bizarre knockdowns I've ever seen.
Yeah, delayed effect, wasn't caught, it?
Yeah, and it was a good 2 or 3 seconds after, and it had the commentators guessing, was his leg gone? But it was actually the punch that kind of swung and caught him on the temple, and he started to wobble about 2 seconds after. But to get up and to continue after that, and the, you know, the multiple times hit to the body and badly cut as well. And
it was the sixth round if people didn't catch it.
Even in defeat, he's a champion, you know, and I think he can hold his head high and feel proud of what he did in the ring.
Is
and
that,
hopefully come again.
I was just going to say, is that him done from a world title point of view, Andy?
Maybe he could step down, fight at European level again, and or even the British level. There's some great fights in Britain for him. There's the likes of Charlie Edwards, and I know it's world title level, but Kalyafai. Maybe if he can build up towards that again, but he'll certainly learn from it. But he just got in with a great champion. Mm. And it doesn't mean that he wouldn't beat some of the other champions. Just, and Kajas was a great champion, is a great champion.
Where's the worst place to take a body shot?
In the solar plexus, where he was getting hit, because Ankajas kept just kind of stabbing him with the left hand straight, right in, with, like, just below your chest.
Yeah.
That, for me, the solar plexus, and it's just, damn, I shouldn't be telling you my weak spot, Joe. but just another note, on the undercard, well, Paddy Barnes had a great win, and it was a body shot that finished his fight as well. To me, that was his best performance against his toughest opponent yet. And again, Kevin, probably the hometown thing, he really went out there with some spite, biting down on his punches, looking to engage and looking to exchange. And it was a beautiful combination to finish the fight. Uppercut, left hook to the head, just to draw his opponent's hands up. And then he finished him with a beautiful left hook.
Yeah, I was going to say to you, Paddy, hand speed on Paddy Barnes. Look, he did look very, very impressive in obviously the three fights. It was a great card, as Joe's touched on before. But Paddy Barnes, in particular, looked the most impressive fighter on the night.
That takes him to 5-0 now. So this was the vacant WBO Intercontinental Flyweight title he won. And again, it was six rounds, a bit like Jamie Conlon, only a reverse result. Paddy Barnes is obviously a man in a hurry. What are his world title credentials like, Andy? Or is that a crazy question to ask this soon?
No, I think... You see, there's not, at those lighter weights, you don't have to have a ton of fights, you know, because there's not that many high level operators, you know, even for his opponent. It was a very good fighter, you know, he's a tall, rangy southpaw. He was 21-6. He hadn't lost in a long time, and he was a good fighter. So, to Paddy to go out there and do that to him, it shows that he has a world title fight and maybe a world title win. It's not out of the question for him. And
right.
To me, it was just, that's the potential I saw in him as an amateur, and just to see him do it in a professional ring. Because up to this point, he didn't really impress me too much as a professional, but he really, on Saturday night, he put on a great show.
And what was the difference?
I don't know if it was the whole crowd thing, and the one, it was a big platform, you know, it was BT Sports, it was a big arena, it was a big card, and it was in his hometown, and... I don't know if that was the difference, or maybe it's just taking time to adjust, because I could see real adjustments. He's no longer fighting like an amateur boxer. You know, he always had a similar style that would suit a professional ring, but now I can see he's really turning in his hooks. He's sitting down, he's tucking in his chin, and he's trying to hit. He was trying to catch his opponent while his opponent was punching him, which is always the best time to land a punch because it doubles the impact.
Mm.
And I could just see little things, subtle things that he's really fighting as a professional boxer now.
Right, okay. I must say, the thought of one in the solar plexus, that bony part of the chest, that would strike me as the sore part, the place I'd least want to...
Just take Joel's sparring once, Andy. Just come in and take Joel's sparring.
No cameras allowed at that.
Yeah.
I presume that's a general thing. Nobody wants a punch there of all places in their body. Are there different fighters with different weaknesses on their bodies?
I think if you can land a good one to the body, fighters' chins vary. You know, you hear he's got a great chin. He's got a great chin. He can take a great punch.
Yeah.
And that varies. Some people can, some people can't. But I think if you get hit by the right punch in the body, no matter who you are, I think it's going to do the job, you know. And but you can condition it. You can condition it by allowing yourself to be hit in the body in training. And but it never gets easy, you know.
No.
Another note, just on the undercard before we go, John O'Carroll, the Dublin boxer, he had a great performance, and he's really one to look out for. He was the opening bout on the TV coverage, and I thought he boxed excellently. He fought a guy who'd never been stopped, a tough Mexican, and he got him out of there in three rounds.
Right.
And he's one to look out for.
What age is he, Andy?
He's only 23.
Okay.
And he's had some great wins already. He's won Prize Fighter, which was, you know, a show before where they'd have like four fights in one night. And he's, you know, he's looking to kick on now, and I think he could be, he's one to keep an eye out on.
Okay, well, it's definitely keep an eye on him for sure. And before you go, I don't know if there's any movement in this. I know last month you were talking about being up for a potential fight with Danny Jacobs. So I know what's that sigh about?
No.
Oh dear.
No. As for that, there's nothing really to talk about. There's been no real contact. He fought last week. He boxed well. He looked good.
Yeah.
I've had a call during the week for a fight, but it would have been a good fight. It would have been a lucrative fight, but I would have had to fight December 16th. and less than a month away, it wouldn't have been.
Yeah,
I would have just been doing it for the money and not for the with no intention to win. So I turned it down. But I've been getting back in the gym now for the last while and getting into a good routine of training. And if the call comes and it's, you know, for March of next year or April of next year, I'll be ready to fight.
Right. Okay. Because he's signed with Eddie Hearn now, hasn't he?
He signed Matchroom, and that was their first show together in New York. And it would be an easy fight to make. And there's been some informal talks between Adam Booth and Eddie Hearn, but nothing worth talking about yet.
Right, okay. But don't be shocked, I suppose, if something happens next year without putting words in your mouth.
If you call me and say, Andy, can you come to the studio? I'll be like, sorry, you know what's going on.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see how that one plays out. Thanks for all that, Andy. Cheers.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Kevin. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Andy Lee there with his take on the weekend's boxing.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.